الحمدللہ رب العالمین والصلاة والسلام علی سید الانبیاء والمرسلین سیدنا و مولانا محمد وعلی آلہ وصحبہ اجمعین اما بعد فاعوذ باللہ من الشیطان الرجیم بسم اللہ الرحمن الرحیم الصلاة والسلام علیک یا رسول اللہ الصلاة والسلام علیک یا حبیب اللہ الصلاة والسلام علیک یا نبی اللہ وعلی آلک واصحابک یا نور اللہ رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي امري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقهوا قولي اللهم افتح علينا حكمتك وانشر علينا رحمتك يا ذا الجلال والاكرام او الله عز وجل open the doors of knowledge and wisdom for us have mercy on us او the one who is the most honorable the most gracious بلغ العلا بكماله كشف الدجى بجماله حسنت جميع خصاله صلو علیہ وآلہ مرحبا اہلن و سہلن بکم ٹو آل دی ویورز اینڈ لسنرز آف مدنی چینل ونس اگین ٹو یور فیملی پروگرام کال دا ارلی ایکو وی شیل بی اسپیکنگ اباؤٹ دا کیو این اے سیشن ہیلڈ ود امیر اہل سنت حضرت علامہ مولانا ابو بلال محمد الیاس قادری رضوی دامت برکاتہم العلیہ دیٹ از کالڈ مدنی مذاکرہ سبحان اللہ مدنی مذاکرہ از اے بیوٹیفل سیشن which takes place with Amire Ahle Sunnat every Saturdays. We listen to the virtues of reciting Darood-e-Pak. Remember, Nabi Akram, Noor-e-Mujassam, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, has mentioned and encouraged us to recite lots and lots of Darood-e-Pak. He says, أَوْلَ النَّاسِ بِي يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ أَكْثَرُهُمْ عَلَيَّ صَلَاةً. The closest person to me on the Day of Judgment will be the one who would have recited the most amount of durood upon me, subhanallah. So here, what a beautiful glad tiding and khush khabri for those individuals who abundantly moisten their tongues with the dhikr of Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That is to say, that they recite durood and send salutations and salams upon the most perfect being and creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the most exalted prophet of Allah azza wa jal, our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So, yes, dear viewers and listeners of Madini channel, on the Day of Judgment, of course, everyone will be inflicted with fear and the horrors of the Day of Judgment. It is going to be a very difficult situation and time when we will be struck with and inflicted with different sorts of calamities during the Day of Judgment. Allahu Akbar. But during those difficult moments when we are struck with horrors and fears of the Day of Judgment, anyone who will attain the closeness and proximity of Mustafa Jani Rahmat sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will of course attain harmony and peace. Subhanallah. He will be saved from those horrors. He will be saved from those difficulties of the Day of Judgment, since he will attain the closeness of Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allahu Akbar. In one narration, Nabi Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said, anyone who recites 50 durood upon me, I will shake hands with him on the Day of Judgment. Allahu Akbar. Subhanallah. He will be honored and privileged to touch and shake hands with the most exalted and most celebrated Prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Is this not a great opportunity? So here, in this way, Durood-e-Pak is the means of attaining salvation from different types of problems and calamities. It is through the blessings and virtues of reciting Durood-e-Pak, a person attains nur and light even on the Day of Judgment. Subhanallah. Sayyidi Ala Hazrat Imam Ahmad Ridha Khan, Rahmatullahi Ta'ala Alayh, has encouraged us also in his beautiful poetry. He says, Vuh Zaba, جس کو سب کن کی کنجی کہے اس کی نافذ حکومت پہ لاکھوں سلام پتلی پتلی گلیں قدس کی پتیاں ان لبوں کی نزاکت پہ لاکھوں سلام شہریار ارم تاج دار حرم نو بہار شفاعت پہ لاکھوں سلام مصطفیٰ جان رحمت پہ لاکھوں سلام شمع بزم ہدایت پہ لاکھوں سلام صلو علی الحبیب صلی اللہ علی محمد sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Alhamdulillah, we have started and commenced with our program in the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the most merciful, most forgiving, all seeing, all hearing, all knowing, most compassionate, our Rabb, who is our creator, our sustainer, our cherisher, nourisher, Allah azza wa jal, who is the master of the day of judgment, the owner, initiator, and creator of everything, subhanallah. After the dhikr of Allah azza wa jal, it is the remembrance of Rasooli Paak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and we have sent darood and salams upon Nabiya Paak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as well as upon his illustrious family and noble companions, Ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhim ajma'in. Let us inshallah azza wa jal listen to a beautiful Nati Paak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Jald hum azim gulzaar Madina honge, jald hum azim gulzaar Madina honge, hazir dar kahe sar
Daadi mein sajde khare
حبیب صلی اللہ علی محمد صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم صلاۃ و سلام علیک یا سیدی یا رسول اللہ وسلم علیک یا سیدی یا نبی اللہ. اینڈ دس واز ون آف مائی فیوریٹ کلامز ماشاء اللہ وچ وی انجوائے لسننگ ٹو اینڈ واچنگ ایز ویل. سبحان اللہ. مے اللہ عز و جل بلیس ابو نعت خان who recite these beautiful naats with their melodious voices, subhanallah, and inspires us and lightens our hearts as well, subhanallah. May Allah Azza wa Jal take us all to the beautiful city of Makkatul Mukarrama and Madinatul Munawwara. Zadahallahu sharfan wa ta'zeema. MashaAllah, there are some brothers who have sent some messages from Madinatul Munawwara. Allahu Akbar. They have sent salams to all the viewers and listeners of Madini channel, making dua for all those who watch this program called The Early Echo. May Allah Azza wa Jal grant him a hazri with adab and respect. Ki jab bhi hum sarkar ke bargah mein jayein, jab hamara bulawa ho, to adaban sarkar ke bargah mein hamari hazri ho, jo maqbool bhi ho Allah Azza wa Jal ke karam se, through the sadqa and wasil of Nabiya Paak sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. The kaifiyat and the feeling of making your hazri, they of course is beyond imagination. Everyone has his own experience, especially when you are, you know, in front of the beautiful gumbad of Nabiya Paak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Even the experience of seeing the beautiful Ka'batullah Sharif, Allahu Akbar, us kaifiyat ko bayan kis tarah kiya ja sakta hai. Subhanallah, subhanallah. But we do supplicate and make dua to Allah Azza wa Jal. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the tawfiq and ability to make the ziyarah of Madinatul Munawwara and Makkatul Mukarrama. Zadahallahu sharfan wa ta'zeema. Bula ro phir mujhe ae shahe bahro bar Madine mein, main phir rota hua aaun tere dar par Madine mein. Ameen. Bijahin nabiyil ameen sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. In fact, Amir Ahl Sunnat has encouraged that those people who punctually watch Madini Muzakira, of course, are indeed very fortunate, and they attain ilm-e deen through this program, because subhanallah, these questions and answers, you know, which you would learn masail, you would learn different stuff related to different acts of Islam, different parts of Islam, subhanallah. If you see the Madini channel department, it's a very vast and a huge department, or mashallah, aise kai programs hai which have been dubbed, especially of our Nigrani Shura, Haji Imran Attari, Damat Barakatumul Aliyah, as well as our Rukne Shura, Haji Abdul Habib Attari, Damat Barakatumul Aliyah. These videos are now presented with subtitles as well. Many of them are dubbed. This is for the betterment of the Ummah, ki hum un cheezo ko samjhe aur seekhe, because the maqsad of this beautiful, fragrant movement of Quran and Sunnah is to promote the deen, ki aapko samaj میں آئے کہ کیا کہا جا رہا ہے. What is being said, subhanallah. آپ ذرا مکتبۃ المدینہ دیکھیں, then the publications of دعوت اسلامی is published in various languages. اللہ اکبر. ہندی ہے, سندھی ہے, اردو ہے, عربی ہے. اللہ اکبر. There are so many different languages in which even the translations are done simply so that we may benefit of this deen. Here there are some questions, and I'm going to basically read out the questions and give the answers as to what answers did Amir Ahl-Sunnat give. He says here, the first question is, if someone performs one sajda in place of two sajdas, will his salah be valid? Ye sawal Madini Muzakire ke duran pucha gaya tha, subhanallah. And Amir Ahl-Sunnat has given the answer, of course, with references. All the references are present here. It has been mentioned that it will not be valid in place of two sajdas. If a person only made one sajda, his salah is not valid. It is stated in Bahari Shariat, it is farz, obligatory, to perform two sajdas in every rak'at of salah. In every unit of your namaz, two rak'at is farz. It is obligatory to perform two sajdas. So if a person has only made one sajda and then realized and remembered, so according to Bahari Shariat, the answer which Amir Ahl-Sunnat has given was that it will not be valid, meaning his salah will not be valid, making one sajda will not be valid. Subhanallah. Another question was, if the Holy Quran is buried along with the deceased in a grave, can we take it out or not? In other words, the questioner had asked, can we exhume, can we dig the grave and remove the Quran Pak from the grave if a person was buried with the Quran? Allahu Akbar. So The answer was given in the Madani Muzakira is it will not be taken out because it is not allowed in Sharia to dig the grave for taking out the Holy Quran Park. Once the person is being buried with it, he will remain with it until the day of judgment. Allahu Akbar. Subhanallah. Another question is, some people say that after performing Salah, Tasbih Fatima should be recited whilst counting on the fingers of the right hand. It should not be recited while counting on the fingers of the left hand. Is this method correct? This is what the question I had asked, that Tasbih Fatima sirf daine haath pe hum tasbih kare, counting kare, lekin left hand pe with the bahine taraf, which is known as the left hand, it is not allowed to count. Is it true? Is sawal puchne wala ne sawal pucha. So the answer was given, you can recite Tasbih Fatima, meaning Subhanallah 33 times, Alhamdulillah 33 times, and Allahu Akbar 34 times, whilst counting on the fingers of both the hands. So this idea that one can only count on the right and not the left is incorrect. As it is stated in a blessed hadith, count on your fingers as they will be questioned and they will be given power of speaking. They will testify in Sunan Tirmizi Sharif. Allahu Akbar, this hadith is present. Qiyamat ke din even our fingers will testify in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Subhanallah, subhanallah. So therefore we should recite Tasbih whilst counting on the fingers of both hands so that they testify in our favor. This is the answer which Amir Ahl Sunnah has given during his Madani Muzakira. So if we focus on this hadith, dear viewers and listeners of Madani channel, Sunan Tirmizi Sharif mein, ki on the day of Qiyamah even our fingers will testify. Hadith paak utha ke dekhe to even our eyes, our heart, our ears, these body parts will testify in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he says, why should you not recite on both hands? Because the hadith says the fingers will testify. They will also be questioned and they will testify. So if you make tasbih on them, they will say and speak in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala after they are granted ijazah to speak, that Ya Arhamar Rahimeen, this banda of yours used to recite tasbih on me. Allahu Akbar. He used to use me to count and recite your names and glorify you. Subhanallah. Maybe through the blessings of this tasbih, Allah will shower His blessings upon you and you will be forgiven. So it is a good thing to always, or most of the time, try and use your fingers as well for making tasbih, inshallah. So here, another question I had asked, who gave poison to the beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and for what reason was this poison given to Rasul Pak sallallahu alayhi wasallam? The answer was given during the Madani Muzakira that after the conquest of Khaybar, a woman named Zainab, daughter of Haris, she served the beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam with poison mixed in goat's meat. Allah Azza wa Jal bestowed the prophetic miracle upon the Holy Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam that the fillet of the meat informed Rasul Pak sallallahu alayhi wasallam about the poison in it. Allahu Akbar. This is the mu'jiza of Nabi Pak sallallahu alayhi wasallam as well, that the meat then spoke to the Prophet of Allah Azza wa Jal and said and related the entire story that I am mixed with poison. It is the miracle of Nabi Pak sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Sayyidi Ala farmate hain, aur koi ghaib kya tumse nikha ho bhala, aur koi ghaib kya tumse nikha ho bhala, tumse nikha ho bhala, jab na khuda hi chupa to pe karodo durood, jab na khuda hi chupa to pe karodo durood, kaabe ke badrud ja to pe karodo durood, taiba ke sham sudhna to pe karodo durood, dil karo thanda mera woh موقف پانچاند سا دل کرو ٹھنڈا میرا وہ کف پانچاند سا وہ کف پانچاند سا سینے پہ رکھ دو ذرا تو پہ کروڑوں درود سینے پہ رکھ دو ذرا تو پہ کروڑوں درود صلو علی الحبیب صلی اللہ علی محمد صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم. So subhanallah, moving on dear viewers and listeners of Madini channel, another question I had asked is, burying a Muslim deceased a fard, obligatory, wajib, compulsory, or sunnah at dafnana? To bury a person, it is fard upon a person to bury, or is it wajib, or it is a sunnah to bury people? So the answer was given during the Madani Mudhakira. It is stated in Bahari Shari'at, it is fard kifaya to bury the deceased, and it is not permissible to lay the deceased on the ground and enclose it by all four sides by building a wall around it. What is fard kifaya? Fard kifaya refers to that fard obligation. If some of the people perform it, all others become exempted from performing it. In other words, if one person has done so, then the guna will be lifted away from everybody else. Nobody will be sinners in that town, in that area, in that place. But if nobody attended to bury the person, everyone will become sinners. So as he said also in the Madani Mudhakira, with the references of many other books, that if none of those who came to know about the demise performed this fard kifaya act, then everyone will become sinners. However, if none of those who came to know about the mayyit, if it was in your knowledge that somebody had passed away, but no one had attended to the janazah, no one had performed the ghusl, the janazah salah, as well as the burial, then everyone will become sinner, such as giving ghusl to the deceased, burying and performing the funeral salah. So, subhanallah, another questioner had then asked, is there any tip for a long life? Allahu Akbar. Usually, hum tips lete rehte hain. کئی چیزوں کے لیے لیتے ہیں کہ ہمارا یو نو پیپل ول بی آسکنگ کوسچنز کہ ہم اپنا وزن کم کس طرح کریں. اٹس سم تھنگ وچ از نارمل تھنگ ٹو ڈو. ان فیکٹ سم بڑی ہیڈ آسکڈ ایز ٹو ہاؤ کین آئی پٹ مائی اسٹمک ان, اس طرح کے سوالات ہوتے رہتے ہیں, ایز ٹو ہاؤ کین آئی اٹین دس, ہاؤ کین آئی اٹین دیٹ, اینڈ سم ٹپس ان ریلیشن ٹو دیٹ. سو ون پرسن آسکڈ ڈیورنگ دا مدنی مذاکرہ, اینی ٹپ ایز ٹو ہاؤ کین آئی ایکسٹینڈ مائی لائف اسپین؟ اللہ اکبر. دا آنسر واز گیون, یس, we can draw this conclusion from many blessed ahadith that gives us that giving sadaqah and treating relatives well increases one's lifespan and sustenance. Subhanallah. So if anyone is very kind and humble with his relatives, he takes care of them, he sees to their needs, and he is humble and good towards them, you know, and he often gives charity in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Since this is the conclusion of not one or two, but many ahadith of Nabi Pak sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, then Allah azza wa jal will place khair and barakah in his lifespan. Subhanallah. Perhaps he would be saved from many calamities, as giving sadaqah in the path of Allah azza wa jal shuts 70 doors of evils. It is due to these evils and stress and a lot of anxiety that we go through in our lives. Many people out there have faced depression. Aur wo you depress ho jate hain ki depression ki wajah se wo jaldi zayif bhi ho jate hain, boore ho jate hain, kamzor ho jate hain, jiski wajah se wo zyada bimar bhi rehte hain. Lekin jo sadqa dene wala ho, sadqat khairat karne wala ho, he is always happy and he is content with whatever Allah has given him when he gives for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in this way, yeah, he will stay healthy and many other doors of evil will be shut for him. In other words, he will be saved from them. Allah will provide barakat and blessings in his lifespan. Subhanallah. So this could be concluded from this ahadith. Another question I had asked, will there be days and nights in Jannah? Hai, 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 kya baat hai? Kya Jannat mein raat bhi hai aur din bhi hai? Are there nights and days in paradise? The answer was given that there are no days and nights in Jannah. There are no days and nights in paradise. There will only be noor all the time. And dwellers of Jannah will be living in the noor. The intellect of a person cannot comprehend with the blessings of Jannah, yet there are many, you know, hadith and narrations which speaks about the blessings of paradise, Jannat ki jo bahare hain, the different levels in paradise, subhanallah. And you know, there is no regret in Jannah, there is no thirst in paradise. Kya baat hai Madine ki? You know, some of the descriptions given about this Hawd of Kawthar, which is gifted to Nabiya Paak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. According to the hadith, when the Sahaba Ikram asked, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, on the day of Qiyamah, aapko kahan talash kare? On the day of judgment, when we are going to be looking for you, where would we find you? The Prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, you can search for me and you would find me at the pool Sirat, the bridge of Sirat. I will be assisting and helping my ummatis to cross and pass the bridge of Sirat. This is the conclusion and the summary of this narration. They said, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and if we are unable to find you at the bridge of Sirat, then where would we find you? Nabiya Paak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then said, you will find me by mizan, at the scale. And then they asked, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, agar aap wahan pe bhi na milenge, to kahan milenge? Allahu Akbar, Rasul Pak said, you will find me at the pond of Kawthar, for I will be quenching the thirst of my ummatis. Those ummatis whose tongues perhaps would have came out due to thirst. You know, they will be suffocating and suffering due to severe thirst and hunger. I will be giving them water to drink from the pond of Kawthar. And we make dua to Allah Azza wa Jalla, kash we are able to drink from the blessed hands of Nabiya Paak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Once a person would drink from this pond, then he would never ever feel thirsty again. It has also been mentioned in the narrations ki the number of bowls, piala, jaise hum piala kehte Urdu mein, bowl kehte English mein, is more than the number of stars in the skies. Allahu Akbar. And the ummatis will then be drinking from this water. So yes, dear viewers on the Sumadini channel, there is a book on the website of Da'awat Islami called The Blessings of Jannah. Kindly go onto the website of Da'awat Islami and download this booklet. Subhanallah, it's such a beautiful booklet in regards to the blessings of paradise. When you will read it, subhanallah, it will give you enthusiasm and jazba to do good work, inshallah, azza wa jal. So yes, we have some Madani Guldastas for you as well, inshallah. Let us watch this Madani Guldasta. And after watching this Guldasta of our senior personalities, inshallah, we will return with this program, and we have many more questions which we will be reciting and reading them out, and we will also give the answers which were given during the Madani Mudhakira. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
My question is that some people say regarding sleeping and taking a nap during the daytime that this is a sign of misfortune. Many people are used to this practice. What does Sharia say about this?
This is a public notion. There's no misfortune in it. However, it is not good to remain asleep until the sunrise, meaning from the time of dawn until the sunrise, like after the time of Fajr Salah starts, from then until the rising of the sun. Sleeping is not good. But there's no sin for sleeping either. Neither is it a misfortune. And there's nothing at all after the rising of the sun. One may sleep if he wants to. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ala Muhammad.
Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. MashaAllah, marhaba. We were making ziyarat of Amir Ahl Sunnah Damat Barakatum al-Aliyah. And subhanallah, his nurani chehra, his nurani face. Great personality of Islam. Many who have been granted the opportunity of visiting him, being in his company, subhanallah, till to date, you know, cannot stop speaking about his personality, the warm feeling that he would give you when you would see him. I had my own experience, and many brothers out there who travel to Karachi had their own experiences meeting Amir al-Sunnah, such a knowledgeable person, subhanallah. You know, it is something that cannot be explained. It is your own experience, what you would feel when you meet with this great personality. There's so much that can be said. Nonetheless, dear viewers and listeners of Madani channel, you know, subhanallah, Amir Ahl Sunnah during one Madani Mudhakira was asked, if someone had a dream in which he sees the deceased who says to him, convey my salam to so and so. So in which words should this person convey the salams? So agar mere khab mein koi aata hai, mujhse kehta hai ki aap fala shakhs ko mera salam pohunchaye, to sahil ne ye sawal pucha hai ki In which words should he convey the salams? Subhanallah. So the answer was given, it is not wajib, compulsory, on the one who had a dream to convey that salam. But it is better to convey salam, and the person to whom salam is conveyed should say the following words in reply. Alayka wa alayhi salam. So even if a person who's living and you say, please give your father my salam. For example, give your brother my salam. So you must say, alayka wa alayhi salam. A peace be upon you and him as well. Subhanallah. This is the beauty of Islam. Ki har waqt hume duayen sikhne ko milti hai, mashallah. Hum duayen sikhte bhi hai, sikhate bhi hai, aur karate bhi hai. Allahu Akbar. We make dua for us, for others, and we even teach others to make dua. This is the beauty of Islam. Har waqt we want to receive the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Another question had come. What is the ruling on reciting Bismillah in Surah Tawbah? What is the ruling? For reciting Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim during the Surah or at Surah Tawbah. So the answer was given, if you are to start recitation from the Surah Tawbah, recite both A'udhu Billahi Minash Shaytanir Rajeem and Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Otherwise, during the recitation, it is not necessary to recite Bismillah before Surah Tawbah. Allahu Akbar. So if you want to know more manners in relation to the recitation of the Holy Quran, there is a booklet or a book rather, which is also on the website of Da'awat Islami. And the name of this booklet is, of course, The Excellence of Reciting the Holy Quran. Download this book or obtain this book from the bookshops, the Maktabatul Madina of Da'awat Islam, inshallah, and read it and learn and see as to what has been mentioned. Okay, another question was, before the announcement of prophethood, was Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiyallahu ta'ala anhu still with the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Ilani nubuwat se qabl, kya Siddiqi Akbar radiyallahu ta'ala anhu Huzuri Paak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ke saath the? The answer was given, as Sayyidina Siddiqi Akbar radiyallahu ta'ala anhu had friendship with Nabi Paak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam even before the announcement of prophethood. After the announcement of prophethood, the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam invited him towards Islam, to which he immediately accepted. You know, this is such a piyara and such a beautiful waqi'ah and story as to how did Siddiqi Akbar radiyallahu ta'ala anhu come into the folds of Islam. How did he accept the invitation of Nabi Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? How did he receive and attain these titles, Atiq and Siddiq, subhanallah? How he is resting next to the beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Another question which is very important, I feel, is what is the correct pronunciation of Abu Bakr? What is the correct pronunciation? The answer was given, the correct pronunciation is Abu Bakr. Abu Bakr. So, ba and kaf is joined. There is a sukoon on the kaf. Bakr. Not bakr. Bakr. You will join the ba with the kaf. There are many words and generally people do not pronounce them correctly. For example, now these are some examples which Amir Ahl Sunnah has given. He says here, qabr. Qabr. Grave. Many people say qabr. Qabr. It is not qabr. It is qabr. Furthermore, Quran, Quran. Many people say Quran, Quran. Subhanallah, whereas many people say Subhanallah, and others would say Subhanallah. Allahu Akbar. Furthermore, Alhamdulillah, Alhamdulillah, Alhamdulillah. Whereas many other people say Alhamdulillah. Allahu Akbar. So even the salam is affected. Many people do not pronounce Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim correctly as well. A'udhu Billah, Ta'awuz and Tasmiyah. So Amir Ahl Sunnah says here, whereas all these religious terms and azkar, it is important to pronounce them correctly, which will only be learned by acquiring knowledge about them. So you got to go to an expert, you know, to a qari of the Quran Pak, who will teach you the method, the rules and regulations in relation to the origin of these words, you know, where they originate from, What are the levels of your mouth, from which part and portions of your mouth and throat they will coming out? How you would pronounce them? So it is very important, though, you know, we have reached old age, maybe it's never too late. Until we have life, we should take out the time and make the initiative to go and learn from the proper qaris of the Holy Quran Park. In this way here, you will protect your recitation, you will protect your salah, your namaz, your du'as, and your dhikr or askar. If you are making no attempt whatsoever, but we have the time to do many other things, and we are not taking out the time to learn the Quran with tajweed, with proper makharij, then we are at a loss. Allahu Akbar. Another questioner had asked, how many days did Khwaja Gharib Nawaz Mu'inuddin Hassan Sanjari Chishti Ajmeri Rahmatullahi Ta'ala Ali perform Chilla 4? How many days did he perform Chilla 4? The answer was given. The literal meaning of the word Chilla is a period of 40 days. 40 days of spiritual and religious practices. So, the place where a noble saint performs a chilla is also called a chilla. So it is a place where he sits and he performs this ibadah, the spiritual exercise, the dhikr askar, you know, meditation and all of that. The word chilla mentions the period of time as 40 days, and the place where they do it is also called chilla. Anyhow, Khaja Ghareeb Nawaz Mu'inuddin Sanjari Chishti Ajmeri Rahmatullahi Ta'ala Ali performed Chilla, meaning he worshipped near Data Sahib's Qabr. Of course, he worshipped Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, but he chosen that place and that place to be there to attain blessings from the Qabr and from the personality as Data Ganj Bakhsh Ali Hajmeri Rahmatullahi Ta'ala Ali, whose Mazari Mubarak is in Pakistan, in Lahore. Allahu Akbar, inka bahut bada mazar hai. Ali Shan Mazar hai, ye wo darbar hai ki log na jaane kahan kahan se duniya bhar se aate hain aur sarkar ki bargah mein hazri pesh karte hain Data Ganj Bakhsh Ali Hajmeri Rahmatullahi Ta'ala Ali ke darbar par. In fact, here in South Africa we have a Madani Markaz as well after the name of Data Ganj Bakhsh Ali Hajmeri Rahmatullahi Ta'ala Ali. Allah Azza wa Jalla inka faiz hum sab par jari o sari farmaye, subhanallah. So it has been mentioned, however, how many days was this worship for? Meaning, how many days did Khaja Ghareeb Nawaz sit for? As long as it's chilla, it is 40 days. But he says here, there are some seerah books which specifies the exact days that he sat there for. But people know it as 40 days. And this was very common amongst people. Subhanallah. But the seerah books will give you the exact numbers of days. Subhanallah. Furthermore, what is the meaning of Ghareeb Nawaz? The answer was given that Ghareeb Nawaz means the one who bestows the poor, the one who opens the doors of generosity upon the poor, and the one who enriches them. Ghareebo ko nawazne wala. Allahu Akbar. Alhamdulillah, our Khaja Ghareeb Nawaz, Khaja Khajagan, Mu'inuddin, Hassan Sanjari Chishti Ajmeri, Rahmatullahi Ta'ala Ali, would bestow the poor and enrich them with the riches. Subhanallah, unke dar se koi khali haath na jata, jo ya jis murad ke saath aata, Allah ke karam se, and through the karamat of Khaja Ghareeb Nawaz Rahmatullahi Ta'ala Ali, Khaja sahab will bestow and fulfill the need of that person. He will come empty, but he would not leave empty handed. And it was not only for when he was physically alive in this world, not only for his earthly life, but even after the demise of Khaja Ghareeb Nawaz, after he, Rahmatullahi Ta'ala Ali, had made parda, aaj bhi unka faizan dunya bhar mein jari o sari hai. Subhanallah, his faizan and his blessings is open to one and all, and his blessings is being distributed throughout the world. Allahu Akbar. These are those darajat which Allah Azza wa Jal grants to his special people, dear viewers and listeners of Madani Channel. Subhanallah. So, the question I then asked, Amir al-Sunnat, have you ever attended the blessed shrine of Khaja Ghareeb Nawaz Rahmatullahi Ta'ala Ali? The answer was given, yes, I have had the honor of traveling to Ajmer. I have also had the honor of reciting a manqabat about Khaja Ghareeb Nawaz Rahmatullahi Ta'ala Ali. Subhanallah. So yes, dear viewers and listeners of Madani Channel, a questioner had asked Amir al-Sunnat, why is Rajabul Murajab Sharif called the month of Allah Azza wa Jal? Why is Rajab referred to as the month of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The answer was given, Rajabul Murajab is called the month of Allah because the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam referred to Rajab as Shahrullah, the month of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the month of Allah azza wa jal. It is for this reason that we also call it the month of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Sha'ban is my month, Sha'ban al-Shahri. Subhanallah. So Sha'ban is the month of Nabiya Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and Ramadan is the month for the ummah of Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Another question I had asked, we have heard that in the month of Rajab, one should perform istighfar, repentance. He should repent often and frequently. Please tell us as to how much of Durud-e-Pak should be recited and how much istighfar should be made. So the answer was given, in the month of Rajab al-Murajab, one should perform istighfar as well as recite Durud-e-Pak. If we refrain from needless talks and recite Salat abundantly, then we would have plenty of time. So here Amir al-Sunnah encourages us that it is easy to ask these questions, but when time comes, we are unable to accomplish this. It's because of our useless conversations. We utilize our times, but for speaking unnecessary, having unnecessary conversations. So if one could basically save himself from those useless talks, he will have ample time to recite the Durud-e-Pak and make istighfar. Recite Salat abundantly and perform istighfar abundantly as well. Do not give it a figure, a number, you know, as much as you can recite istighfar and recite the Durud-e-Pak. One should do that, inshallah, azza wa jalla. We have come to the end of today's program, dear viewers and listeners of Madani Channel. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. We hope that you have enjoyed this program and found this program to be a beneficial program. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. All of this is through the mercies and blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Stay good, be good, do good. Recite lots of Durud-e-Pak, and remember, wherever you are, I must strive to reform myself and the people of the entire world. Insha'Allah Azza wa Jal. صلوا على الحبيب صلى الله على محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم الله الله الله
start your day with remembrance of